This is The Informer on Joy 94.9.
On last night's episode of The Informer, we discussed Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International report looking at gay conversion therapy in Australia with Abbey founder Anthony Venn Brown. Abbey serves individuals, churches, denominations, leaders, and religious organizations in a respectful and non-confrontational way along their journey to understand LGBTI people, their community, and relationships. We often make assumptions about conversion therapy based on media from the UK and the USA, which has led to miscommunications with what it means here in Australia. The Abbey Report on Conversion Therapy in Australia is a detailed look at our past, with sobering data about our present that can help us to make real change about the future of conversion therapy in Australia. Now we continue DNR Curie's conversation with Ambassador and Bridge Builders International founder, Anthony Venn Brown, exploring why this issue is so important to him, with some harsh realities of religious conversion therapy in Australia, and how Abbey are trying to achieve change for the better.
Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International is an organisation that I founded in 2013. Going back two steps further from that, of course, my autobiography was released in 2004, which produced an avalanche of emails into my inbox of people saying, your story is my story. And telling me their horror stories about, you know, what had happened to them within Christian context with families and friends. Out of that, then I co-founded Freedom to Be, and Freedom to Be was a national network of LGBTI people, Christian backgrounds, and that went really well, and that grew. But what I saw, Dean, very quickly was that, you know, we can land at the bottom of the cliff forever, but what we need to really do is build things at the top of the cliff. That brings us back to Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International. So my role within that is to reach out to churches, Christian leaders, denominations, organisations, to educate and inform them about LGBTI people, our community and our relationships.
So this is something which you talk about in your research, how you have been on both sides of the fence when it comes to this issue. Could you just tell me a bit more about that?
When I was a teenager, my final year of high school, when I realised that I was, you know, attracted to the same gender, the dictionary told me that that meant I was a sexual pervert. Of course, this was in the 1968, 69, which was a criminal offence. Mental health professionals, I mean, people were institutionalised in those days and people were having aversion therapy. So it was very frightening as a young teenager to realise this was me. And I went to a psychiatrist after attempted suicide was discovered by my parents. And I went to a psychiatrist then to change my sexual orientation. So that's back in 1969. But then my willpower and then that didn't work. And then I turned to Christianity, became what would be called a born-again Christian. And then went on that journey of exorcisms and went into one of the first in the world to go into a residential ex-gay program to try and change my orientation. Finally getting married, of course, having children, becoming a high-profile preacher. And then everything fell apart when I fell in love with a man at the age of 40. At that point, I've had 22 years of trying to change my orientation, struggling daily with that and praying and fasting and doing everything. So I was really exhausted. But falling in love, of course, changes everything. You realise this isn't about sex. This is actually about something much more profound. This is about love. But, of course, I had over 20 years of conditioning that this was a sin, that this was an illness, that this was an abomination. So when I resigned from the ministry, my coming out was not an empowering coming out. It was filled with shame still, and it was more a reluctant acceptance because I was just exhausted.
Just to jump back with what you were saying, so was it surprising when so many people were reaching out and saying, this is my story too, I know what you went through?
Look, it was surprising because, you know, for many of us, and myself included, we tended to think we were the only ones because we had no connection with any other gay or lesbian people which had left the church or who had, in our minds, given themselves over to homosexuality. So there'd be no contact. So I was really quite overwhelmed by the flood of emails into my inbox. But of course, I could say it was like my inbox became a microscope into a hidden world, a world of people who had unresolved issues around their sexuality, around their faith, or both, that I've never spoken to a single soul about that previously.
Do you think a lot of that has to come from people's actual stories and people's actual dialogues, not just from the LGBTIQA plus community, but also survivors of ex-gay therapy and religious people? We really need to create a space where we can hear more conversations of the people that need to be allowed to step up and speak.
Exactly. You know, whenever I've had people come to me to tell me their story, you know, I've got permission from them to share the stories, and I've collected hundreds and hundreds of these stories. They are available. And, you know, there is research being done in this area. There is already so many stories out there of the harm that's happened and the years that have been wasted and the lives that have been lost because of this outdated belief that homosexuality is a sin or is a illness.
So do you think that's the next stage and next challenge that we really have to tackle if we want to take this step further?
Yes, that's been the issue for a long time. But now it's become, as we've knocked out the other things which are in the way, now we can really focus upon this. And the gay Christian movement is a huge movement. And you know, there was a time when you would never use those two terms together, gay Christian. But as I mentioned already, there are whole denominations now which are serving other LGBTI people, denominations which will ordain LGBTI people. So, you know, things are changing, but not within the evangelical, Pentecostal and charismatic streams. They're the ones that are still lagging behind, a long way behind, actually. And we have a lot of work to do there. And the work will not be done by attacking people because, as we all know, if anyone attacks us, we're going to get our backup. And that's why Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International has been taking a role of reaching out with dialogue, not attacking people, you know.
One of the things as well with us confusing that kind of dialogue, it then creates further spaces for there to create a divide between the what we really need to be fighting and what we think we're fighting, and that can cause further damage.
It can. You know, if we look back now at the gay Christian movement, I mean, there was a time, the gay Christian movement really started 1 year before Stonewall in Los Angeles, when a minister, Reverend Floyd Perry, who was Pentecostal, said you can be gay and Christian and held a meeting in his lounge room. And we've seen that grow and grow and grow now. And, you know, there are whole denominations which are serving and churches which are serving and ministers. And that's taken a lot of work over a lot of decades. And there's going to be a lot of work that we need to do also around religious, what we call religious gay conversion therapy.
The current efforts that are being made at the moment in regards to our dialogue, in regard to this that are playing out in the media, they're created in such a way that, especially after reading your report, trying to ban gay conversion therapy doesn't really seem to be the end of the story.
No, no. And I've been working on several phases with this. Like, as I pointed out in the report, the phase one for me was let's target the organisations and the ex-gay leaders. And now the majority of those have either closed down, rebranded to a celibacy model, or they've gone underground a little bit. But, of course, the next phase is we're tackling the actual belief system, which says that homosexuality is not part of God's plan, not part of God's order, and that, you know, that God's plan is that all people be heterosexual.
That was Dino Curie with Anthony Venn Brown, founder of Ambassadors and Bridge Builders International. You can find a copy of the report on our social media or via abbi.org.au. If this story has raised any personal concerns, or you yourself have been struggling with thoughts of self-harm or feel you are in crisis, you can contact Lifeline on 13 11 14 or online at lifeline.org.au. For general support and questions or concerns on LGBTQI issues, you can contact the team at QLife on 1800 184 527 or for web counselling at qlife.org.au. Or you can contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or at beyondblue.org.au. They're all there to help. And remember, if it's an emergency or you're in immediate risk of harm, always contact 000.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.